Mr. Bell will be with you shortly. Please have a seat. Perfect.
What's up, everybody? I'd like to welcome you all back to the Biopsychosocial. I'm your host, Gilbert M. Bell. And if this is your first time tuning in, thank you and welcome. This week, I'm going to be talking to you guys about how some of our characteristics and our beliefs keep us from becoming great people. And what I mean by that is, like, we allow ourselves, or we don't allow ourselves, to improve because we feel that certain things are beneath us or take too long or it's just not what I do, you know. And this can have a great impact on your life. It makes me think about when I came home from being incarcerated. And I was fortunate enough to run into a buddy of mine that hooked me up with a job. And, you know, I had the job for a few years. And eventually I lost the job. But I had to make some money to take care of myself. And at that time, I wasn't trying to go back to jail. So I just did whatever I could that was legal to make some money. And that involved selling hats, selling shirts, selling jewelry. And one time I was selling sunglasses, and I chose a spot in the check cashing place and set it up, you know, because people cashing their checks, they got money. So set it up in the check cashing place, and, you know, I'm doing okay. Not doing numbers, but enough. And I don't know how, but two of my friends at the time found out, and they came up to the check cashing place, and I tell you, they just started clowning me, because here's this guy who we know from the block that get money, and now he's in the check cashing place selling sunglasses. And, you know, at the time, you know, I held my head high and I continued, and, you know, I finished out the day. But then I never went back. And that really, you know, made me think like that. I let these individuals really influence me to stop grinding because of the type of grind. And this is something that a lot of us do, where if our peers don't approve of it, it's discouraging and we will not continue. And we will limit ourselves and we will miss opportunities because we follow the opinions and the perspectives of others. How many of you can think about why you didn't do something because of what somebody might think of you, and why you did something because of what people are gonna think of you? And it just takes me back to why so many bad boys, bad girls are so influential in their neighborhoods, is because the things that they do are approved. The things that they don't do are disapproved. And a lot of us move in this mannerism throughout our lives because of what somebody else is going to think. What you want to start to think about is, how do you want to be seen? Do you want to be seen in the image of somebody else, or do you want to be seen in your own image? How do you want to be seen to your friends, your family, your community, your country, your world? You know, how do you want to be remembered? How do you want people to describe you when they speak of you? And those come from the choices that you make, from the habits that you practice. Don't get me wrong, this was hard in my process, you know, learning that the things that I do are for me and no one else. And a lot of people can't wrap their minds around that. This ain't for nobody else, this is just for you. One thing that I want you to try to remember is that when you change your behavior, it automatically changes the people and the environment around you. It's a ripple effect. So your behaviors can impact, first of all, yourself, then your family, friends, community, church, school, law. So all of these things are touched by your behavior. So what you want to do first, get some self-reflection. Start looking at yourself, your good and your bad behaviors. And then second, put a great support system around you. And that can consist of however many are there, however many people are around you. You could put as many as you want, but as long as they constantly motivate you and move you in the right direction. So going back to self-reflection, you can talk yourself into a great situation. You can also talk yourself out of a great situation. You could talk yourself out of a bad situation and you can talk yourself into a bad situation. I can remember when I was younger and you would be walking down the street and you catch eyes with somebody, you lock eyes with somebody, and they would be like, yo, what the fuck you looking at? And, you know, whether he was looking at him or not, that was the common thing. What are you looking at? And you had to respond to it. You know, it was either with aggression or, you know, some passiveness. And as I went through my process, I had to learn that that don't be for me a lot of times. You know, people are, they're putting up their defense mechanisms and they're playing a role. And I remember having to get into the habit of ignoring it, shaking my head, laughing, or, you know, something that would de-escalate the situation. But then as I go throughout my days, and it may be 5-10 minutes later, 20 minutes later, a day later, I'd be talking to myself in my head like, yo, that dude just, he just challenged you and you ain't do nothing. Sitting there, you know, getting hyped and steamed, and I'm telling myself that you were supposed to respond, and the next time this happens, you better respond. But then I remember those times where I did respond, and by the end of the night, I was the one holding the short end of the stick, because I'm sitting in somebody's bookends, somebody's jail cell, shaking my head, telling myself, you ain't even have to do that. You ain't even have to take it that far. It wasn't that deep. And this type of self-talk needs to be eliminated and replaced with self-talk that is positive, is motivating, that pushes you, not one that's self-defeating. And I talk about this because this was one of the hardest processes, or one of the most difficult parts of the process, and having to overcome that took a lot of consistency, a lot of dedication, and the use of my support system. I think about individuals who I hear on a daily basis or I have spoken to over the years who constantly make excuses about why they can't change or why they can't do better. And I say it's excuses because that's all it is. And our challenges produce these excuses. Individual would tell me, oh, I'm hustling to take care of my family. And then I would look at that and say, okay, you hustling to take care of your family, understandable. But I got a question for you. If you are hustling to take care of your family, that means you are the primary income source. So hustling comes along with consequences that separate you from your family. If you were to be subject to one of those consequences, such as incarceration, for however long, where will your family get their income? So it's kind of a contradictory behavior. You know, you're hustling to take care of your family, but if you were to get locked up, then you can't provide for your family, and your family's still at risk for whatever you're trying to protect them from. Then you have individuals who say they're looking for a job, but nobody's hiring, or I'm a felon, ain't nobody hiring felons. And I say, okay. And then I look at that. I say, first, I'm a felon. I have a career. I make some good money. Second, I say, okay, how much time have you dedicated into looking for a job? What resources have you obtained to find a job? Are you just asking one or two people here and there? Are you sending out your resume or posting your resume on these job finder sites? Are you sending out your resume, asking people, knocking on doors, creating your own job? Like, how dedicated are you to finding a job? Because you can't tell me that there is no jobs available. Now, I know we're in a pandemic. A lot of people lost their jobs. But we are living in a hell of a time where you can create a job out of anything. And I want to give two examples. First, I'll give myself, use myself as an example. In between jobs, when I was, you know, grinding, I found multiple ways just to earn a little side income. So one of those ways was clean people's houses or apartments. Low inventory costs. All I had to do was get a broom, mops, and cleaning products. And a lot of times the people provided that anyway. I went on Craigslist. I posted an ad. People answered. I did the job. I charged them $80 for the apartment cleaning for a certain amount of time. I think it was like 2 hours or something. So I made $80 in 2 hours. And I would do that to provide income. One thing I tell people is I call New York City the city of gold. The streets are lined with money. And I remember I was standing in front of a friend's building and we were talking, you know, and shooting a breeze. And then a car pulled up. It was an Uber. A young lady came out the building and she proceeded to get into the car. She had an arm full of bags. And as she put the bags into the car, her soda fell out and rolled back to the curbside. Now, along the curbside was a stream of water that was coming from the Johnny Pump a few feet down that was running. Johnny Pump, fire hydrant, whatever you call it in your neighborhood. So it created this stream of water. The bottle rolled into the water. The young lady looked back and even the cab driver was like, get your bottle. You want to get your bottle? And she's like, no, I don't want that. It's in the water. I ain't picking that up. Cool. Car pulls off. Me and my friend go back to talking. I want to say maybe 10, 15 minutes later, another young lady comes walking down the block, pushing a cart, a regular laundry cart. And she's talking on the phone and she just stops. Puts the person on hold, walks over to the curbside, picks up the bottle, pours out the soda, shakes off the bottle, throws it in her cart, gets back on the phone, keeps walking. That whole situation had me so hyped. One, because I got to see the process play out and I was able to have somebody there to witness it with me. And we both live two different lifestyles. You know, he earns his money one way and I earn mine another way. But it was a whole nother process that was right in front of us. And I just say, like, you know, people, the things people won't do to get to that next level, somebody else will. I've heard stories of people who've brought houses, started businesses, collecting bottles and cans. Is it a shame? That depends on the person. Are you hungry? How far will you go? How low will you go? And I'm not saying that that's low. I'm just saying that this person said, this is not beneath me. The other person said, that is beneath me. However you make your fortune is how you make your fortune. Young people, if you're listening to this right now, if you're between the ages of 12 and 18, you are in prime real estate in life where you can create a whole business for yourself, a whole source of income, multiple streams of income, for yourself from the palm of your hand on your phone. You can put your phone to your face, ask it any question that you want, and it will provide you with some information. Being that you are young, you have time. Your time is of most value. Use it while you have it, while you have no other worries, no bills, no rent, no children to take care of. Use your time wisely to amass for your future. Parents with young children, even with older children, or for yourself. Use your money to provide income for you down the line, to provide for your kids down the line. What I mean by that, so how many of you have a piggy bank or a jar of coins sitting on your dresser, sitting in a corner, sitting in the basement, wherever you every time you came home, you put some coins in a jar, just left it there. How long have you had that jar just sitting there? You know, do you remember? Well, let's give it some dates. Let's give it some time. So you have a jar. It has, I'll just use a random number. You have a jar that has $10 of coins in it. If you let that jar of $10 in coins sit for a year, 2-3 years. At the end of that time, you still have $10 in coins, but that $10 in coins cannot buy the same things that it would have 3 years ago. Now think about that. You have the same $10, but it can't get you the things that it would 3 years ago. And just think back when you were a kid, how much candy, junk food you could buy with a dollar. I remember chips, cookies, candy, juice, you know, sunflower seeds, all that with a dollar. I came out the store with a bag full with a dollar. How much junk food or candy or treats could you buy for your child now with a dollar, right? It's called inflation. So inflation rises 2-3% every year. So we have to think about this with our money, our nickels and dimes. Now, if you take that same $10 and you put it into an investment, let's say like you use an app like Robinhood, right? And you put $10 away. just that one $10. You buy a $10 stock. Let's say the stock pays you 20 cents every 3 months. So you put it into a dividend stock, one stock, and hopefully you would want to buy more, but you buy one stock that costs $10 that pays you 20 cents every 3 months. How much do you have at the end of the year? $10.80, correct? Now the stock, they have its risk. They go up and down. So you may have a little bit less if you catch it on a down. You may have a little bit more if you catch it on the up. But no matter what, you made 80 cents on your $10 in that 1 year. I'm using small numbers. If you want to use bigger numbers, it will look a lot more shinier. But I'm using small for comprehension and point. So $10.80. Now, what could I do with this $10.80 that would benefit me in the long run or benefit my family and children in the long run? So now, let's take a product like a Gerber life insurance plan for children. Gerber Grow Up Plan. I think that's what it's called. The Gerber Grow Up Plan. I don't have any endorsements with Gerber. I just see the value in this. So a $10 stock that pays me 20 cents, that's 1080. And the smallest life insurance plan you could get for your child, I think with Gerber is like $5,000 or $3,000. I think it's $5,000. So $5,000 life insurance that doubles when they turn 18, right? And they could borrow from it. So $10,000 they get at 18 if you start anywhere before their 14th birthday. So now I bought some stock that paid me 20 cents every 3 months. The monthly payment on that life insurance plan is about $3 and change. So let's just round it off to $4. How much stock would I have to buy where I earn $4 every month to help me pay this life insurance? So now, let me just rewind and say, with dividend stocks, you have different ones. Some pay you monthly, some pay you quarterly, some pay you semi-annually, and some pay you annually. So that means that some pay every month, some pay every 3 months, some every 6 months, and some every year. So now if I find one that pays me monthly, and let's say it's anywhere $10 and below that pays me monthly, how many would I have to buy that can cover this $4? So that means if I bought a $10 stock that pays me monthly 20 cents, and I'm switching it up, it pays me monthly 20 cents, then I would need $400 investment, $400 investment, and this would bring me 40 $10 stocks and $8 dividend every month. So that's way more than what we need to cover this minimum life insurance. So I have $8 that I could take $4 of it and put towards my child's life insurance. That's only $5,000. That's going to be $10,000 when they turn 18. But I'm not doing anything because my $400 is just sitting in this stock account. I'm not touching it. I just collect the dividends so I could pay this life insurance that's gonna put my kid in a better space when they turn 18. Now, I'm using this small one. They have policies that are for $10,000, $15,000, $25,000. So whatever you can afford, do it, but do something. But have your money work for you. We all got stimulus checks. What did you do with your stimulus check? You could have took $400 of that, put that into a stock account, brought enough stock that pay you an X amount of dividends where you can put that dividend money into an insurance policy for your child that doubles, that they could pull from, that they could pay for college, and you ain't have to do a thing. $400. Oh, I don't have $400. You sure? You smoke cigarettes? You drink alcohol? You use drugs? You drink coffee? You get your hair done? You get your nails done? You buy shoes? It's there, but what are you willing to do for it? Can you sacrifice for 1 year of your life to provide a lifetime experience or a lifetime opportunity for your child, for your family, for the future? I can hear you now. Listen, Gilbert, I don't know anything about stocks. I don't know anything about investing. And I know I just like to buy what I need, and that's it. I hear you. I got some advice. YouTube. Tons of videos about stocks and investments. And the great thing about investing today is that it's not as hard as it was a few years ago. I remember getting my first brokerage account and taking my shot at stocks. I ain't have a lot of money. I just put what I had. And I said, if it go, it go. If it don't, then damn. You know, and I trust and believe I lost money in the stocks, but I took a chance and I learned and I figured it out. Am I a stock broker that could go on Wall Street and do numbers? No, I'm not there yet. I just learned what I needed for myself. And I remember when you had to pay to make trades. And to me, this was counterproductive, because if I pay $10 for a stock, but I got to pay anywhere from $4 to $7 to trade it, how am I going to come up off of that? I'm not trading billions. I'm not trading millions. I don't have this big stock portfolio. I'm just trying to get my foot in the game and do something. So lo and behold, my prayers were answered, because they have apps like Robinhood, they have apps like Acorn, they have apps like Stash, they have all these different investment apps that allow you to do trading for free. All you have to do is connect your bank account to brokerage account, and there you have it. Put in however much money you have. If you want to invest a certain amount of money each month, then you do that. But like an app like Acorns, they will take that same money that you were putting into your change jar, that you would come home into your pocket, put in a change jar, they would take the change that you spend when you use your debit or credit card and put that into an investment account. Also, you can automatically invest a certain amount of money each month. You know, you can invest a certain amount of money whenever you feel like it. That's the beauty of a platform like Acorns. Robinhood changed the game. All these big brokerage firms now are doing free trading because Robinhood allow people to invest their money without all the trading fees and, you know, do numbers, get money and become successful. So don't think about what you can't do. Figure out how can you do it? There's so many things that we could say we can't do, right? That's reality. Like, I can't sing, but you can't tell me I can't sing, because I sound good when I'm in the shower. I sound good when I'm singing to myself. I sound good when I'm happy. I sound good when I'm sad. Like, to me, I could sing. I like hearing my voice, but is it enough to sell records? I don't think so. That's something I can't do. That's a reality. Become successful. You can't tell me you can't become successful. There are kids out there, 14-year-old kids, 13, 12, 11, creating enough income to take care of their parents. There are people who are 50, 60, creating enough income at that age. Like, they didn't have it before then, but they finally hit their mark. 50, 60, 70, and living the rest of their life how they want to live it. So you can do it too. You can't tell me that you can't. What are you willing to do to get to that point? What kind of characteristics are you willing to change? What kind of behaviors are you willing to change? What kind of attitude are you willing to take on to become the person that you really want to be? You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not differently able, because you have individuals who have no limbs, who have no feet. Winning races. You have individuals who have half of their body winning wrestling matches. You can do whatever you want to do when you put your mind to it. You gather up your resources and you put it into action. The only way you're going to get somewhere is you take action. You have to do something. You can't just talk about it. People have dreams. They talk about their dreams all the time, but they never take action to put it into fruition. Once again, I can take ownership. I've been talking about starting a YouTube channel for years, and I sat on that idea and I spoke enthusiastically about it and never came into fruition. I would post a video here, post a video there, but never consistently. So now I have to put myself in a mind frame that you will consistently do this to build, grow, and it will be what you put into it. Whatever you put into something is what you're going to get out of it. If I put a video up once, twice a year, what kind of results am I looking for? If I put a video up every day, every week, every month, different results, what am I looking for? What are you looking for? I want to leave you guys with this. Anything is possible if you apply yourself, stay consistent, and take action. You've been listening to the Biopsychosocial. I'm your host, Gilbert Bell. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace. If you're listening to this on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe and hit that notification bell so you can get updated every time I upload a new podcast or a new video. If you're listening to this on any podcast platform, don't forget to share on your favorite social media sites. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, Twitter, at Gilbert and Bell Live. Except on Twitter, it's capital GMB _ live with a capital L. All your support is greatly appreciated. When you like, when you subscribe, when you share, it helps me out. So please, if you choose, do those things for me. And I promise to continue to upload awesome content like this. Thank you.